Good afternoon. Father Bracken read some of the scriptures that we spoke from yesterday. And for me, unfortunately for you, this is all just a reflection of my time alone with the Lord. So if the Lord keeps giving me a fresh look at something, this is what I'm bringing here. And so this, as I mentioned yesterday, those last few verses of John chapter 2, I think, are some of the most significant scriptures in all the Bible, because they make clear what the gospel is all about. They really make clear God's love for us. So we talked about this yesterday. I want us to look at it a little bit more, because I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will paint a picture to you of how massive the gospel is, how massive the love of God is in terms of your salvation, and how it's all about because of grace, not have anything to do with what you earn or what you deserve. And that's not just true about getting saved. It's about walking out your life in Christ. So let me read these verses again that Bracken read. Verse 23 of chapter 2. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew that he was what was in man. So there shouldn't be a paragraph here. I mean, or chapter division. Immediately. Now, there was a man. So this is just a continuation of the conversation the Holy Spirit's having with us, that Jesus didn't entrust himself to man, because as the incarnate God clothed himself with our humanity, he knew everything about man. And he was not about to entrust himself to man. The reason he came was because man could not be entrusted with straightening out his relationship with God, with getting his life right. I don't mean by that just right with God, but getting life right. That's what righteousness is about. And that the only way it could happen, the only way for your relationship with God to be restored and for you to work right, for you to be whole and fully functional, is for everything to be entrusted to him. So he says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. He comes by night, says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs unless God is with you. And Jesus answered and said, unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So it's all part of the same conversation. Let me read. You can, if you have a Bible, or if there's one in front of you, you can keep your finger there and John will come right back. But I want to read you this place from Romans chapter 5. Because what you need to understand is that every human being is born in Adam, and that's not by their choosing. Doesn't seem fair. But because of what Christ did at the cross, you're in Christ. That's got nothing to do with your choosing. And that's not fair either. It's all grace. Because God couldn't leave it up to our choosing. He didn't risk that. Now, in the end, do we have to believe for it to be personal? Yes. So there is a choice. But in terms of the redemption, the whole thing, the finished work, it was not having anything with our choosing. So let me just read a few places. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I'll just start at verse 11. Not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not achieved it, but you've received it through Christ. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Get it? And then he goes on, he says, in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of Adam's offense, who was a type of him who is to come. Now, in what sense is the Adam a type? Jesus. Because Adam was a representative of all humanity. And when Adam blew it, all humanity was in him. And every human being was responsible for Adam's sin. He represented us. That's about covenant. So when he sinned, death spread to all men, spiritual men. Why? Because all sinned in Adam. What happened to him happened to us. And so in that sense, he's a type of Christ, because what Christ did also as representative of all humanity. So here's some things I just wrote down. The end of the Adamic era the fall of man, mystically happened before Adam ever sinned. Revelation 13:8 says, "For he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world." The cross was simply a conclusion of that predetermined act. Adam's sin, from God's perspective, was forgiven before he ever committed it. In his own death, this is from another person, he makes mankind's peace with God before they themselves have decided for this peace. And quite apart from that decision, in believing, there is only a conforming to the decision about them that has already been made by God in Christ. You with me? Adam was a type of Christ only in the sense that one affected all. Adam's act affected all, so did Christ. So he says here, therefore, in Adam's sin, death spread to all men because of all sin. And therefore, how many people died in Adam spiritually? All. The same thing is used, the phrase over and over again, concerning what Christ accomplished. What did Jesus' act do? How many did it affect? All. What happened to Adam, and therefore us, was not by our choosing. What happened in Christ was not by our choosing. God took that out of our hands because we couldn't be trusted with it. That's why Jesus said, "It's finished." He didn't say, "It's begun. It's begun. Please complete it. It's finished." And therefore, our faith is in something that's been finished. So it's not about how much faith you have, it's what you have faith in. Do you understand the difference? If it's about how much faith you have, you're going to constantly put the burden back on yourself, wondering if you have enough faith. It's not much how much faith you have, but what your faith is in. Was it really finished, or was it not? So let me just read some of these verses again, if you don't mind. Verse 15 of Romans. But the free gift, this is from Jesus, the free gift of righteousness in him, being made complete and whole, being made normal from God's perspective, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of by the grace of the one man, Christ Jesus, abound to the many. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from that one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose, even though there were many transgressions, all of our sin, resulting in our justification or righteousness. Now he goes on and on and on. Verse 17, for if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death, spiritual death, reigns in the one, much more those who receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So, again, how quick it is for people to believe, and I have a problem believing, that Adam brought death to all, but how we balk at the notion that Christ can bring life to all those same dead people. But that's the whole point. Jesus came to undo what Adam did as our representative. The guilt and punishment that we incur in Adam was apart from our own choosing. Christ's effects, which is much more, whatever Adam did, whatever the demonic did, it goes in these verses over again, much more, the gift. And then he goes, free gift. Well, if it's a gift, of course it's free. But the Holy Spirit felt like we somehow might miss it. It's a free gift. Now I want you to hear this scripture, and then we'll tie this up. This particular verse is what blew me away today. Made me want to just talk about this, go a little bit farther, show you some things. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. The first man, talking about Adam, is from the earth, earthly. But the second man, talking about Jesus, the second Adam, is from heaven. Now, what did he say in chapter 2? Even though many believed in his name, Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man. And that nobody needed to tell him about man because he knew what was in man. Why did he know? Because he was clothed in your humanity and was tempted in everything you've ever been tempted with. So he knew about man really clearly and was not, you could not unconvince him that there's nothing you could do about your predicament, about your separation from God, or about your making yourself into a whole, emotionally, mentally, personally healthy person. That's righteousness. And so he continues the conversation and says, but here's the deal, Nicodemus. God didn't entrust the problem to you. And you're the teacher. He's the great teacher, very religious. He said, you have to be born from above. He said, that was God's solution. So much bigger than the fall. Now, God's not just going to forgive your sins and say, now, get going, do the best you can. You have a second shot at this. He actually birthed something new. And that thing he birthed new was heavenly. No wonder it says that what Jesus, the one thing Jesus did, his act, death, burial, resurrection, was much more powerful than anything Adam did. For where sin abounds, grace has abounded all the more. You with me? Now look at this verse, because when we talk about being born from above and having eternal life, that's the same thing. So just again, remind you, eternal life isn't chronological about how long it lasts, so it does last forever. Eternal life is the quality of life. It's the word age to come life. It's the life of heaven. Jesus, the first Adam, was of the earth, earthly. But the second man, the second person, is from heaven, born from heaven. Verse 15 and 16, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. If you believe in him, if you're not a believer in him, but if you believe, then because you've been placed in him, that eternal life which he accomplished for you in his finished work, because he represented all of humanity, including you, if when you believe, it becomes personal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would no longer perish. Their life would no longer be ruined, but they would have the life of heaven. You see, he's the man from heaven. The way you got born again was God, you who were born in Adam, all humanity, he placed us into Christ. And in his resurrection, we were born from above in the man from heaven. You with me? It's his heavenly life that you have. It's not something he handed you. It's his heavenly life because you're in Christ. He accomplished this without our choosing. You were born from above without your making a decision for it. You were born from above without your choosing because he did that 2,000 years ago at the cross. It was the completed act of what he had already decided before the foundation of the world. Apart from your choosing. Had nothing to do with your decision. He didn't entrust us with that. We were too fallen and stupid. So he did everything. He placed you in Christ. You were born in him. Created in Christ Jesus. For we are his poem, his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Wow. You were placed into the stuff of Jesus, the man of heaven. And therefore, you were born from above because you now share his eternal life. You share his heavenly life. You share his intimate relationship with the Father. You share his life lived out through you on earth. Believing simply makes that personal. He accomplished it for every human being you meet. No matter how messed up they are and how messed up their life is, he accomplished it for them already. All fell in Adam. All were born above, from above in Christ. But only those who believe does it become personal. It's one of the great tragedies of people who go to hell is they didn't have to do anything to avoid it except believe in what he totally finished on their behalf. That's the place why that scripture and John 2 is so powerful. Jesus said, even though they believed in him, he didn't entrust himself to man because he knew what was in man. That the only hope we had, if we could entrust everything to him. And in doing that, he did a great job. He finished. Perfect. He says perfect. And the only natural response is to believe. Amen? Amen. Therefore, since you're now in Christ, in the man from heaven, the incarnate man from heaven, what do we do to live the Christian life? Just believe, step by step, that the life of Christ, the man from heaven that I'm in union with, can face everything I face, because everything about heaven is more powerful than what goes on earth. That's why he says, greater is he who's in you, the man from heaven, born from above because you're in him. Greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. Amen? Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Fun stuff. Powerful, changing, change your mindset stuff. set you free.